You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, you're still alive, and this is Jonah Radio.
If this is gonna be that kind of party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potatoes.
Neil, girl! Out here, it's just a little bit strange, but tripping down, yeah. Yeah. Danger.
Get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hey, Luma, with your friends.
Game
over,
man. I can strut ground for you.
Foul eviction.
I don't understand, it's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
Hey, bud, good party.
Hooray, hooray. Thanks for tuning in to Jonah Ray. Dio, once again, cannot make it, but we are hoping to get him one day. We did get a comment on our iTunes, or our, what is it called now? A podcast, Apple Podcasts. We got a someone gave us a little bit of a comment. They were upset. They were very upset that they said needs more Dio. Booby Tuesday says needs more Dio. Seriously, enough already. Get Dio on here. We are trying. We have been talking to shaman from throughout the metal world. We're talking to people on in the Nordic regions of the world to see if we can summon Dio one day. Cash, where are we up? Where are we getting any further on that?
Looks like the download is stalled at around 68%.
Okay, so once Dio's Afterworld gets some Spectrum internet, we'll hype that up a bit. Neil, have you had any luck trying to summon Dio anytime recently?
Telepathically, but it's bad audio. It wouldn't be good for the podcast.
Speaking of, you just had some terrible audio right there when you were speaking. And we fixed Neil. Neil, show those people how good you sound now.
This is how good I sound now.
Give us a little sing us a little song, Neil, real quick.
Mary had a little lamb.
Neil, we're going to get sued.
Neil, we can't afford it. Mother Goose is litigious as shit.
Oh.
And so we are all here, and we have a guest today. Today, our guest is a neighbor of mine, a pal of mine, and the man who has come up with this extraordinary idea to connect everybody through music from around the world. It is called Play Music on the Porch Day, and his name is Brian Malman. Brian, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Jonah, thank you so much for having me. This is really cool. I appreciate it.
Of course, of course. You could tell us a little bit about Play Music on the Porch. Just get more into the details of what it is.
All right. Well, I started it a few years back. I do a lot of social practice start type artwork, and I was kind of playing with the idea of a global collaborative art project. So I experimented with a few different things and came up with Play Music on the Porch Day, which basically you invite people from around the world to come out and record themselves playing and share it with the hashtag Play Music on the Porch Day. And it took off way more than I expected. Most of the stuff that I'd been doing, really just nobody did. So this one was pretty amazing.
So for so long, you felt like a failure. And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, crying myself to sleep at night, you know, feeling worthless. Yeah, but then this one, you know, like 7 people did it. No, so now, you know, but it took off. I didn't really push it as much. I was kind of curious what it would do. So I just sort of put it out there. And I started getting videos back from all over the country, which kind of caught me off guard. So I decided the next year I was really going to push it. And that next year I reached 17 countries. And it just completely kept growing from there and there. And at one point, I don't know when it was, but I got a, like 3 years into it probably, I got a video of a guy playing guitar in front of an ert in Mongolia. And this this little girl comes out and she's sort of teasing him while he's playing. And it was just this moment like, wow, this is something kind of special and kind of spectacular. So it's really really taken over my life since then. I do visual art as well, but it's kind of gone to the side as I've been connecting with musicians and connecting with people all over the world. It's a daily thing where, you know, what city are you in? What are you doing? And everybody speaks English, which is amazing, with slang and everything, you know, most of the time better than I do. So it's surprisingly easy to connect once you start reaching out. But yeah, it's been fantastic.
And then what's the slogan you have for us? Like, what if everybody stopped for one day? What's the
yeah,
thing?
What if for one day everything stopped and we all just listened to the music?
And I've like followed the hashtag before on yours because you do it on August.
Year it's the 29th. We do it the last Saturday in August every year. So whatever that is, the last Saturday in August, and this year it's the 29th. Yeah.
And like I've followed the hashtag, and it is, yeah, it's global. It's people like posting stuff on Instagram, videos of Instagram, or going on Instagram Live all over the world. Like, so you're like going through this hashtag and you're seeing people like in Africa, in Europe, all around the country, just like playing kind of like whatever kind of music. And it usually ends up being kind of a like the folk music of the region, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, what I find so spectacular is it really reaches into like small towns and little cities. So you're really getting, you know, people, real people doing this, you know, and it's not just like famous people or people with a lot of money that have access to something or whatever. You're getting, you know, grandmas and kids and real traditional music. And it's fantastic.
And I'm like, you've even had, because of the, like the community that's kind of, sprung up around this, you've had people do collaborations with each other, right?
Yeah. I've become really good friends with a guy named Tinashe, who's in a band called Gwevedzi in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Wow.
And, you know, we talk all the time and we started, I had this idea of what if I could put people together and just have them collaborate on a song. And of course, Tinashe was like, yeah, let's do it. So I contacted, I don't know if you're familiar, the legendary Shack Shakers, and the main guy in that is a guy named J.D. Yeah. Wilkes. And he's a fantastic guy. And he's been really supportive of this thing right from the beginning. So he was kind of the first person that came to mind. So I ran it past him and he was like, yeah, send it over. So the two of them, from then on, I just let them put it together and do something. And it's spectacular. I mean,
we have a clip of the track that they collaborated on. And I'm assuming they just kind of did that by sending each other stuff over the internet, right?
Yeah, just back and forth. You know, I don't know exactly how they did it, but between the two of them, they figured it out pretty quickly, actually.
We have a clip of that. Cash, you want to play a little bit of that collaboration?
What's it called?
It's the one I emailed you just a little bit ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have missed.
You didn't. Okay.
This is song. This is when we're talking about our guest thing. I see that song right there, and I will open it up.
Neil, are you okay, Neil? You got a throat thing?
Yeah, I started to laugh and then I started to choke.
Oh no.
I mean, you could mean this song.
There you go.
There it is, yeah. Now, Tinashe plays a mbira, which is a thumb sort of piano thing. You can hear him starting with that.
So ndichaspera mukuru ndichifondoka mumuku tukutsvaka cheuviri mhuri iwane kurarama richikunda kusvika rinonyura azvizhinji zvandasangana nazvo kutsvaka pane dandaro yakatsetseka raramo padandarama ndoinganidunure ndambozama kuyeredza mifunga nemitsanga chitsimanidza kure ndiende kumba
Is that nice?
Isn't that great? That's real great.
And that's JD also is like he can whistle, like he whistles on albums. So that's him whistling and playing harmonica, and then Guavezzi did the rest of the song. And there's an imbira in there, which is it's an instrument from Zimbabwe, and it's like a little piano, but you pluck like pieces of metal on it to play it. It's really neat.
I have one of those.
Do you really? Yeah. So that's what he's playing there.
Yeah, it's there was a guy that would record like punk bands. He like had a very cheap kind of setup in Hawaii when I was growing up, and his name was he was a white guy, but everyone his name was Baba Tunji because his parent, he was like born and raised in Africa, and so his parents gave him a traditional name. But he was just this kind of a hippie dude, ponytail, and like would loved recording, and so like he was cheap, so he would like in this old abandoned Kodak film processing building that still smelled like terrible chemicals that was probably making everyone sick. He set up a little recording studio, and like every band in Hawaii basically like recorded through him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, he had one of those, and I remember like playing with all the time, and I was like, man, I got to get one of these. And just like a couple years ago, I was at Guitar Center and they were having a sale, and I got one for like $10, and they're just beautiful, really relaxing to play. You just, you know, play it like in your, like just hold it in your hands and kind of pluck at it with your thumbs. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's a beautiful instrument. And you know, it does, you get a pattern going and it's kind of mesmerizing.
Yeah. But
we've done that one. And we did a collaboration with a composer in Portland, and he used a broken piano that he was plucking on. It's really kind of neat. And then he collaborated with a tar player from Tehran, Iran, and those two made one. And now we just finished another one with Guavezzi and an opera singer from a Portuguese opera singer. Wow. And that one's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So the last Saturday of August is going to be Play Music on the Porch Day. You can follow Play Music on the Porch Day on Instagram at Play Music on the Porch Day.
Yep. Play Music on the Porch. And
Play
then
Music on the Porch, yeah.
Do a search for it, and you'll see stuff comes up of people playing all over the place. So you just searching for it is fun.
Yeah, and we implore any of our listeners who are musicians to contribute to it. You know, we have listeners from upwards to three countries. Mm-hmm. And so,
wow, awesome.
Yeah,
Puerto Rico's not a country. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We're at 50 countries this year. So if any, we want to get 100. So if you guys, 100 cities and 1,000 or 100 countries and 1,000 cities. So any reaching out by anybody is greatly appreciated.
Yes. Okay. Spread the word. We'll continue to talk about this later, but Brian's going to join us. So we're going to break for a song right now. You know, here at Jonah Radio, we love covers. And recently, a listener gave us a bit of a he's like, this is right in your wheelhouse. He has a record label called Glory or Death Records. They're out of Oceanside, California, and he just put together he's going to be putting together these compilations, cover compilations called Bow to Your Masters. And this is Bow to Your Masters Volume 1. And in Bow to Your Masters Volume 1, he had a bunch of metal bands do covers of Thin Lizzy songs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he has like High and Fire doing Vagabond of the Western World. He has Gygax doing Emerald. He has Goya doing Cowboy Song. Mouths of Thieves, that has like a bunch of different members, like even like a drummer from that was formerly of Poison Idea was in there. And we're going to play a song from there. It's one from a band Kook, which I love that name. But it's a version of Thunder and Lightning, and this is all available right now. Glory or Death Records, .bandcamp.com. This guy runs this label, and he seems like a real good dude. So here is here's their version, Kook's version of Lightning. Sorry, of Thunder and Lightning. Go for it, Cash. Okay, awesome. That was Kook with Lightning and Thunder off the Glory or Death Records, Bow to Your Masters, Volume 1, Thin Lizzy. A ton of great stuff on there, a ton of great renditions of Thin Lizzy songs. Neil, as the resident Thin Lizzy fan, what did you think of that cover?
I give it 10 Phil Lynott mustaches.
Brian's son has been practicing the drums a lot lately, and he's getting really good.
Well, it's a bit of revenge, because when Jonah moved in, he told me he was the drummer in a death metal band. So, you know, I'm getting revenge over the long term.
Brian, you're mixing up the story. So,
really? okay.
Yeah, so like Dee and I move in and we see Brett and he's like, say, hey, I'm your neighbor. And we, you know, we walk across the street and we were talking to him. And then it's, and then, you know, he goes, he's like, I should let you know, like, I actually, like, I have a death metal band and we practice here. We're pretty loud. And then my reaction was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And then Brian goes, no, you were supposed to be like worried and upset about it. I've been planning this. He'd been planning this joke like to whoever bought the house across the street.
I played a long game.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, it's, yeah. His sons were really sweet the other day. They, on my birthday, they, I got a text from Brian saying, come outside. And I went outside and his two boys held up a sign that says, happy birthday, Jonah. And then I made them sing for me.
They're such a blast. And it's frustrating. Calvin is such a natural with drums. He's like better at music than anything. I wanted to be a musician more than anything in the world, but I just have zero talent. And watching him, I'm like so jealous.
Man. Well, you should tell him that it's time for him to live your unaccomplished dreams.
I do that. I try so hard.
I think that's how they say to raise. That's how you raise kids, right? You say, now it's your turn to do everything I didn't.
Yeah. If I don't come back in this room, if it's not full of weed smoke, you're grounded.
kid. What I hope is that you're, because your brother is actually a musician out in Minneapolis, right?
He is. Yeah. Mark Malman. He's professional musician, lots of albums, toured all over the world and all that stuff. Yeah.
And he knows,
I was in a house like that. Go ahead.
And he knows our friend Harmar too, right?
He sure does. Yeah. They go way back. Yep.
Incredible. And then you and I meet in Los Angeles, California. Yes. Well, what I hope is that your sons not only get into music, but get into the world of
music news.
That's right. I hope they learn all about the weird stuff that happens that has nothing really to do with music.
But I mean, homework.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, speaking of thin Lizzy. All right, guys. First off, John Dusik from Consequence of Sound just reported that Iranian metal band Arsames is facing 15 years in prison for playing quote unquote satanic music.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Yeesh.
The band members are currently out on bail and are awaiting trial. Isn't that gnarly that can still happen in this day and age?
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
That they're charged with 15 years in jail for being in a satanic metal band and being against the Islamic government.
Wow. For a country that's supposedly like 1,000 years, you know, behind in, you know, social progress, that's only about 30 for America.
Yeah.
Satanic Panic was like 84.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's the Paradise Lost, the West Memphis 3. I mean, that like only happened a little bit ago. But like, you know, they in 2014, they did do a cover of Slayer's Raining Blood, which is pretty satanic.
Yeah.
But there was also, there apparently sounds familiar to people who know about the band Confess, who were sentenced last year to 74 lashes and a combined 14 and a half years in prison by the Revolutionary Tribunal of Tehran.
Wow.
Couple of questions.
Insulting the sanctity. Yes, yeah. What do you got, Cash? I am well versed in all of this. Is there
video of the lashes? Because that would make an awesome music video. And two, are they all in like the same cell block? Because I could see like maybe some sort of like Prison Sun Records that they get going in their Prison Sun Satanic Records.
That's true, but instead, it's going to be all just like basically like a cappella, and then the drums are just going to be, you know, a tin cup going back and forth over the bars.
Satanic jail rock? That's awesome. I mean, it's sad that they're going to be in jail for that long.
Nice backpedal catch.
Yeah.
It's messed up. I mean, there's a lot of great music and great art in Iran, and they're dealing with the, you know, the oppressive government, the over religious zealots in the same way that we are in a lot of ways.
Yeah. You know, I was just watching the Circus of Books documentary last night on Netflix, and it's about the gay porn store that started in Los Angeles, and but they go into like just so funny because you know that it was illegal to be homosexual, and you know like it's a all the stuff about Larry Flint kind of getting in trouble with like us peddling smut and whatnot, but just to kind of like you know all that, you remember it, but then like when you just see the president of the United States saying they're going to just arrest people that are making porn. Like, it's just like, that was just in the 80s. It's like, it wasn't that long ago. This idea of just religious zealots, making laws for, human beings.
Yeah. We should do something about that.
That's why we all got to make art, make noise.
Yeah.
Raise their voices. Yeah, be rude.
Or if you're like Lamb of God, who is inherently an evil band, you can start selling your own small batch coffee. Lamb of God now have their own coffee, which is dubbed Memento Mori, and it's a collaboration with the Night Flyer Roastworks, and so yeah, you can go and do that too, and just give people the energy to praise the Dark Lord.
Here's what we need: a satanic international lobbying group, because nobody's going to get these satanic bands out of, like, there's no international Christian groups that's going to get satanic bands. We need the proceeds of that coffee to go to some sort of like evil rescue group. I don't know how I'm just spitballing, guys. Feel free to jump in.
So you're saying actually, I don't know. I have no idea what you're saying.
So like an evil Avengers? I don't know if that works.
Well, the Church of Satan or whatever it's called, they're like trying to like file lawsuits to replace Confederate statues with statues of Beelzebub down in the South.
Yeah, I mean the Church of Satan, that organization has been doing a lot of great, very funny stuff. There's a documentary on them. I think it's on Amazon or Hulu. But it's really great. Basically, it's just like an organization hell bent on showing a lot of the hypocrisy of religious run government and First Amendment rights. They do a lot of great stuff like that. They're like, oh well, like it's like if I'm saying I believe in this, so we should be able to have a goat statue in front of the in front of town hall.
Yeah. Wait, Michael Jordan?
Yes, Michael Jordan.
The goat. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. here's a fun thing I found. I've been really, really digging metalinjection.net lately. It's like one of the funniest and just fun music sites I've found, and it's all metal stuff, but they just are very good at finding weird things and having a lot of fun, and they don't take themselves too seriously. But in there I found a thing they posted where it's a mashup guy that William Moranci. And he just did a mashup that works really well of a song from Slipknot. And, of course, the Baja Man. let's hear a little bit of that, Cash.
That is...
Oh, beautiful.
It,
wow.
It was too tasty. This is what the guy who discovered peanut butter and chocolate together feels like. I'm pretty...
like, you hear me? Like, yeah. I didn't think of that.
It's so, yeah. So out there. That's exactly what the dogs needed, was heavy, heavy, heavy drums.
It really works, too, just because of that kind of growly, like, it don't be dog, dog, dog. Like, you're like, oh, shit, that does sound... Like, I was surprised that wasn't actually some of the Slipknot, singing there. That Corey Taylor.
Yeah.
That Corey Taylor, the guy I really like, just don't like his band, but I don't know him personally. But like every time he like talks on, it's almost how I feel about Rob Zombie, where it's like it's like I love like reading Rob Zombie interviews. I love like hearing him talk about stuff and when he writes about stuff. But I've never really liked much of the stuff he's made as far as
music,
you know, movies music, or yeah. music.
You didn't like any of like that. What was the first album? Zombie Sex Kill or something?
Maybe I should go back. I think when I was younger, I didn't like, and like, it's like, I guess, you know, I don't know, More Human Than Human. Maybe I should go back. Maybe I should like, you know, go back at it with more open ears.
Yeah. Go to the first album.
Yeah.
Cause I was thinking this what might be a good topic for someday, but, if there's a word that you hear and then it always makes you mentally fill out the rest of a lyric from a song.
Mm-hmm.
and off that album. So for, I don't know, I guess going on 25 years now, whenever I hear the word meanwhile, I fill in meanwhile behind the facade of this innocent looking bookstore, which is a sample they used on that album.
Oh, okay. Do you know where that might be from?
I think it's from Batman or something.
Yeah.
Like oh, yeah, that makes sense.
66 Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess there's always like, yeah, like those words that come about and where you just, I guess it would be like some.
That isn't Helmet. Meanwhile, too. Meanwhile. That,
meantime.
Meantime. Ah, yeah, there it is.
And then anytime you say it's been a while, you can't help but
say
it's been a while.
Yeah.
And
there's also
anyway, here's Wonderwall. Been...
oh yeah, it's been.
It's been. Yeah. Neil, you okay?
Yeah, I'm sitting on a Swiss ball, so I'm making fart noises.
It's a lot of
99 movement. Luft Balloons. Whenever that comes up, I always think of that song. You know, you're just sitting around and you're like, hey, I need some party supplies.
Yeah.
How many Luft Balloons do you need?
Recently, people have been making the mistake of there's a New Jersey metal band, and a lot of people keep on, based off of their name, keep on trying to make reservations for them because they have the same name as a pub in England. This is being reported over at metalinjection.net from Greg Kenelty. And he's saying that the fine folks local to the Swashbuckle Tavern, Cleethorpes in Cleethorpes, United Kingdom, just want to book a table at their favorite pub. So they go on Facebook, they find the Swashbuckle Facebook page, and then they message away. And so they Swashbuckle had to make a statement saying, "Dear people of Cleethorpes, UK, you might not be aware that there is a pub/restaurant named Swashbuckle in your town. We are fully aware because we receive at least a message a week from some clueless dunce asking us to reserve them a table." People, be smart.
Like a turn from polite to kind of like a little bit snooty.
Yeah, it's always says people be smarter and do your research before shooting a DM to three idiots in tricorn hair.
Oh, there you go.
He's all, the response will not be in your favor. Also, don't be like this piece of shit. And so they show like a exchange. Someone says, "Can we book a table for 6 for half 10, please?" And then they respond with, "Fuck no, you can't." And then the person responds with, "Black Lives Matter." And then they respond with, "Yes, they do." And then the person trying to get the table says, "Then get us a table." And then they respond with, "Get yourself a fucking table." And then the person says, "This attitude stinks." And then they respond with, "Your reading comprehension stinks, as well as your fucking ability to do your research. We're a band, not a fucking restaurant. So go search the fucking pub you're looking for and message them." And they said, "Try not to use a cause as important as Black Lives Matter to try and book a corner booth so you can eat shepherd's pie."
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So I think we might have buried the lead here. These guys wear tri-corner hats when they play?
Well, their name is Swashbuckle, so.
That's cool. I like that. What was the other like metal band that dressed up like King George or whatever?
Oh shoot, yeah. Well, we did a whole thing of all the subgenres of metal, and there's a whole lot of pirate metal, and then there's subgenres within pirate metal.
Yeah,
yeah.
In Boston, there was this band called Arg that would just show up to other people's gigs, and then right after they did their sound check, they would just run up and take over the band's equipment and start playing.
Oh, that's right. Until they got kicked off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's such a
they were just called
such a great idea.
Yeah, what it would be funny if you were telling someone that, and then they just kind of go, and it turns out they were like the best band, but they never got a chance to finish a song, and they never recorded because they couldn't break into any recording studios.
I just love the idea of like after they take over the other band's set. They go back and then they take over the other band's merch table, and it's just their name written on everybody else's merch.
They just draw over just it.
Vandalized record covers.
Well, we're going to take a break with a song real quick and do some ads. We're going to play, you know, we love covers here. John
we
Lee,
do.
Mm-hmm.
We As previously stated.
Yes, and we also love the band Pup out of Canada, out of Toronto. Neil's future home someday, Toronto.
Toronto.
And so Pup just did a cover of Granddaddy's AM80, which is one of my favorite songs and also a great Granddaddy song. And then Pup did their kind of pop punk version of that song. So we're going to listen to that song. And then do some ads, and then we'll be right back with more Brian Mulman and Play Music on the Porch Day Conversations. Awesome.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It is Cash, and I'm here to talk about Keeps. Keeps is great because 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. I'm way past that. Best way to prevent hair loss is do something about it while you still have hair left. Well, now you can get treated from home because you used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get your hair loss medication delivered right to your home. Make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generics versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you've never tried them at this price. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/radio to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/radio. That's KEEPS.com/RAYDI. We're talking about Harry's. You know, in this time, everybody's trying to save money. How much money could you save in 1 year by switching to Harry's? Enough to buy 26 cups of coffee in New York City. Enough for 3 deep dish dinner pizzas in Chicago. Enough for 6 months of your Netflix subscription. How? Well, Harry's delivers high-quality razor blades as low as $2 each, a fraction of the price of the leading brand, and saving you hundreds of dollars over time. I love Harry's because it's a very easy step. I just snap in my handle to the new blades that they send me, clean up, and I can wear my mask to work with. It allows me to breathe. It allows me to keep this cool beard I have very neat and trimmed. Well, Harry's is super convenient. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription. That's right, just $2 a blade. Quality, durable blades. They've cut out the middleman. They manufacture blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. Someday I'm going to go to Germany and I'm going to visit that particular factory. Harry's has all your grooming needs covered in one stop. You can get blades, hair care, and shower products all on harrys.com. And just like their blades, Harry's is committed to providing premium products without breaking the bank. And they're still doing their good work. 1% of proceeds are set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to helping provide better access to better mental health care for men and veterans, and to help support those who need it most right now. Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. Listeners of the show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/donut. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel without to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Just go to harrys.com/Jonah to start shaving and saving today. That's harrys.com/JONA.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply with UiPath, the world's number one AI-powered business automation platform. UiPath, the foundation of innovation.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Give the active people in your life something they'll truly appreciate. Performance apparel from Vuori. Whether they're into running, surfing, hiking, or even just casual walks around the block, there's something for everyone. And if you're not sure what to gift them, you can't go wrong with something from Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's the perfect gift and so comfortable. Get 20% off your first purchase today at Vuori, Vuori.com/Spotify.
Hey, all right. Welcome back to the show. We are still here. We are still Jonah Radio. Play music on the porch day, last Saturday of August. People from around the world are going to be playing music using the hashtag Play Music on the Porch Day at Play Music on the Porch on Instagram. And people are going to be posting themselves playing and be a part of the movement, be a part of the positivity that music can bring. And then maybe you too will meet some other similar weirdo in some other part of the planet. And then you guys can do a collaboration. And then maybe we'll even play it on the show. Huh? How about that?
Absolutely. And I can work with somebody if seriously, if there's somebody out there who wants to do something, we can figure it out.
Brian, I have a question for
you. Yeah, see? So Brian, have Brian do the work.
All right.
I live in an apartment. Where should I should I go just outside my apartment to play music, or should I go all the way down to the street?
Well, a long time ago, you used to just be able to go outside and bring friends together. But since that's kind of over with, we're making allowances this year. So, yeah, whatever you want to do. I mean, in, like I said, in past, it was like get people together, have a party. And this year, kind of all bets are off. It's like social distance, wear a mask. Okay. Yeah, so inside your apartment is just fine.
So it's more of the spiritual porch.
Right, exactly. In the past, it was kind of being part of it. You'd get outside and you'd have a little party or a gathering or something. But I don't want to encourage that this year. So, yeah, go for it. If you're in an apartment, in your kitchen, whatever, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I say get a piece of wood and just stand on that piece of wood. So you get that spiritual porch while you make music. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Or maybe just buy some natural light.
Porch. That's not a bad
idea.
Build
the whole porch in your living room.
You'll see also like it's, you know, like some of the videos I've seen, especially in African countries, people are just, you know, people are just in their homes or outside of their homes. You know, it's not necessarily just, you know, a bunch of, you know, people on porches. It's people all over the place in their homes and their communities doing it, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, it started with the word porch, and it has become a kind of a difficult word to translate. It has so many different meanings around the world, and some people don't understand it the way we kind of have that tradition here with porches, but it doesn't necessarily translate all over the place. So it's something we talk about for the future of whether to keep that word or not, but it also helps explain the idea as well. You know, it's a community space. It's a gathering space. It has a lot of metaphor.
You know what image flashes in my head when I hear play music on the porch is the end of The Jerk, where Steve Martin and his family and his wife are. Oh, okay. Well, no, it's kind of a different part of it. But yeah, just them all just dancing and hanging out on the porch. I love that. I love that movie.
Yeah, I mean,
it also is the beginning. I usually come in late too.
Ah.
And this is what's neat. It's like that. It's real music. It's music being played, and that's something that Anthrax's Scott Ian would be excited about because he's recently in an interview stated that bands using backing tracks live should provide a disclaimer on the tickets.
Oh,
he says, I don't want to sound like an old man, but I mean, come on, look, I get it. If it's some kind of giant pop act and a giant production or something like that, or if it's Pink Floyd doing The Wall, and there's recorded stuff, voiceovers or whatever, or like what Rob Zombie does, where there's all the samples and everything like that. I get it. That's fine. But I hate going to a show and I just instantly know all the backing vocals are pre-recorded. I don't know how it could be a law, but I think it should be printed on the ticket that for bands doing that, and the shows that are doing that, it should say 70% of the show you're paying $250 for is pre-recorded. It should say that on the ticket.
Wow, what shows is he going to? That's a ticket.
That's the crazy part. He just started naming, like, you know, all the different Cirque du Soleil shows he's been going to.
I'm beginning to think that Love Show, they didn't have any of the original Beatles in that.
But I don't know. What do you guys think about that? There, of course, like in this day and age, there's like lots of like pre-record stuff. You know, you see the drummers with the pads, the sequencing pads next to their, you know, drums and the laptops and whatnot.
That's how it's done. Some people do it awesome. Some people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's hard to imagine even going to a concert. So I don't know. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Add one more expense and one more like piece of red tape for them to have to jump through.
They should know that. Maybe at the beginning of this, they didn't know how to play them live. The end of this, they really should.
You know, there's a music in itself has been so volatile the past 20 years, and it only is getting more increasingly so. And it's, you know, with Spotify and bands having a hard time making music, Daniel Ek, who is the CEO of Spotify, recently said there is a secret to success to get higher Spotify payout rates. But what it requires is more output. And so what he says is that there is a it's like artists today that that are making it realize that it's about creating a continuous engagement with their fans. It is about putting the work in, about storytelling around the album and keeping a continuous dialogue with your fans. And he says there's a narrative fallacy here, combined with the fact that obviously some artists that used to do well in the past may not do well in this future landscape where you can't record music once every 3 to 4 years and think that's going to be enough.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a,
wow.
It's yeah. Apparently the guy in charge of music needs you to do more work so he can make more money.
Listen, yeah. I'm looking at this boat. Yeah. You're going to have to put out a couple more albums.
Yeah. Yeah. A guy who clearly understands the artistic process.
Yeah.
How it's about just grinding every day, putting a song out a day, not really giving a shit or being able to remember what you wrote the next day.
Yeah. It's but that's the thing. That's what I've noticed, is that, you know, there's more EPs than ever. People are just kind of putting out songs as they make them. Even like, you know, I've noticed with the what's going to become the new Idols album, but they're just putting, like, it's, you know, they're putting out a song from this album like every, you know, few weeks, every month. And I think that's them maybe adapting to the new style. I don't know for sure, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's also you're able to do that without the expense of physically producing stuff, so
yeah,
you know, like putting out like a physical album or a physical CD, which is you know, cost prohibitive.
Yeah, the guy Ek was he was labeled an obnoxious, greedy little shit by David Crosby, and Mike Mills of REM told him to go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
and it's also Tom York once compared Spotify to the last desperate fart of a dying corpse.
Wow. A little bit off the
yikes.
A little bit off the subject, but did you see David Crosby criticizing people's joints last week? People were sending in like he was giving notes on joints, like, oh, I like it, you know, I don't like it crimped like that. You got to leave the end open. And then it just evolved into like, will it get you high? Then I'm good with it. It was a pretty good 20 minutes on Twitter last week.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
guy should have a podcast. Even if it was just called Jim Morrison's a Dork, I would listen to it.
Well, of course you'd listen to it. It's your two favorite things.
Yeah.
calling people dorks and negging Jim Morrison.
Yeah, it's true. Nico Case said about Ek, this bitch has nothing to say to musicians. He keeps our royalties. And Clipping, rapper Clipping off Sub Pop Records, says, this man has never created anything as lasting or as beautiful as the worst song by your least favorite band.
Nice.
And Nigel Godrich, producer for Radiohead, many, many bands, even the Terror Twilight album from Pavement, he says he was responding saying, Spotify CEO says, working musicians can no longer release music only once every 3 to 4 years. And then Nigel said, Leech complains of body bleeding too slowly.
Yeah. He's created one website in his entire life, and that's it. And now he tweets from his fucking yacht.
Yeah. D. Snyder also attacking him. He's like, while you, the listener, benefit and enjoy Spotify, it's part of what's killing a major income stream for artists and creators. The amount of artists rich enough to withstand this loss are about 0.0001%. Daniel X's solution is for us to write and record more on our dime? Fuck him.
I think he's...
That's why I don't use it.
Yeah, what do you use?
What's that?
Yeah.
Apple Music, I guess.
Jason Isbell said, I mean, Hendrix put out an album every few months and it worked out great for him. Checks notes.
Yeah, he just couldn't get to sleep and took a few pills too many. I wonder if it was his overwork that did that. Jesus.
RJD2 says, if Jeff Bezos came out and said, if you do delivery, working 50 hours a week isn't going to cut it, he would get fucking exasperated. This is why Spotify CEO saying, if you're an artist making an album every 3 to 4 years isn't going to cut it, it's so widely out of pocket. That's a, you know, and that's a RJD2. That's a DJ. That's a guy that, is specifically digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But works hard to, you know, have like, take his time to make stuff like RJD2 is amazing. The Horror is such a classic album. Mm-hmm. And he didn't put out another one for Neil. What was that? Like it 3-4 years before the next RJD2 album.
Yeah. And he made the theme for Mad Men.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's probably where he made most of his money.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, I bet they bought it outright. They probably didn't pay him residuals.
Even Cloud Nothings, which is a great band, said, we've put out an album just about every year since we started, and streaming alone does not pay the bills. I do kind of understand what he's saying, but still basically an artist-unfriendly stance. Simply creating more streamable music does not equal making a living from streaming.
Yep.
Mm.
It's crazy how they got away with, like, just, like, when digital streaming started, they just, like, cut those rates from, like, you know, when people used to get played for, like, radio plays or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, oh no, this is this new thing and we're just not going to pay you anymore.
Yeah.
I remember Nick Thorburn showed me a check from Spotify and it was like for like 35 cents.
It's crazy. You need millions and millions and millions upon millions of listens and streams to like make any amount of like, and then that gets that, then there's publishing gets taken out. Then the label gets taken. And then like, say you're in a band with four other people, then that's split four, you know?
Yeah.
The guys from Fucked Up said, imagine if car companies were upset they weren't making enough money selling cars because somehow they were being devalued before they got to the consumer. And then the president of cars was just like, make way more cars to every single car company on earth at the same time.
Yeah.
It's
Is
Apple any better than Spotify?
None of them are.
Yeah. Apple's not good, but they made me sign up so I could just, because if I wanted to like buy an album, you have to sign up for Apple Music.
No, you don't. You can still buy through iTunes without having to sign up for Apple Music.
Oh, well, the time I tried to, I couldn't figure out how to do it without it.
I'm sorry.
Really? I'm a Neo-Luddite. It's the new cool thing, dude. Get into it.
All right.
Be bad at computers when your job is computers.
Moving on. This is nothing I'm going to play because it just sounds like a good Misfits cover. But if you go over to metalinjection.net, the members from Hatebreed and My Chemical Romance did a Misfits cover with Max Weinberg on the drums. So if you want to, so the fun part is not so much the cover as just seeing Max Weinberg play a Misfits song.
Which song is it?
They covered Earth AD.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's really neat. And it's also kind of like, it's like he's still keeping it with his Jersey roots.
Yeah. And his kid's like in a metal band.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, is he really?
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, Dave Clock did some work with them and he said that Max Weinberg was a pretty cool dude.
Nice. And in Jersey, other Jersey news, recently someone asked Michael Imperioli what kind of music James Gandolfini was into. And Michael Imperioli responded with Green Day. And then a guy said, yeah, fucking right. Jim listening to Dookie would be an honor to watch. And then Michael Imperioli says he would play the vinyl of Dookie in his trailer at work. Totally serious. No joke. He loved Green Day.
That's awesome.
I like the idea of James Gandolfini just getting ready to be Tony Soprano by listening to fucking just Welcome to Paradise.
I don't know. When you see that guy wading into the pool to try and touch his ducks. You know, that's a guy that masturbation's lost his fun.
Neil, you have some music news that you were excited to talk about.
Oh yeah, there's a new Travis Barker single that's supposed to come out today that I couldn't find yet.
Yeah, it's because it wasn't Travis Barker. It was Blink-182.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I told you last night.
Oh, well.
In our text chain, you said there's a new Travis Barker single. And then I said, did you mean, you said it's all about quarantine.
I just saw him say there's a new single coming out tomorrow. So yeah. That's, I assumed it was just him.
Yeah, no, it was Blink-182.
Cool.
See, so it's not that easy researching all this music news for the show, Neil.
No. Oh, yeah. It took me all of 8 seconds to read a tweet and then go, hey, why don't you guys do this?
We really appreciate your contributions to the show, Neil. That Blink-182 song, the quarantine song, not that bad. Kind of a return to form. It's very pop punk, very 90s, very a lot of people comparing it to like classic Offspring as well. It has that gallop beat, the punk rock gallop beat that I think Blink-182 has never really done, at least for not a really long time. So let's listen to a little bit of it. The lyrics are great, but yeah, just give us a little bit of that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, not so bad. Nice and catchy. Very, very classic punk, pop punk sounding. I forgot to do this, but Bad Religion today did a orchestral piano cover of one of their old songs. That would have been a nice a companion to that.
Wow.
But yeah, it's kind of, they did that. They all recorded it separately and put it together and kind of a nice, fun.
Yeah, you're right. It does sound song. Like Offspring.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah. What were you saying, Brian?
I like it. Thumbs up.
Yeah. But it has nothing on this mashup of Donna Summer and Glenn Danzig. Let's hear a little bit of Danzig.
Perfect.
Okay. It's so awesome. Good. That's really
the whistle. Wow. The whistle got me.
Yes. Yeah. All right. We're gonna one last piece of music news, and we're gonna break for a song. Sad news, Vern Rumsey, founding member of Unwound, also recorded with Blonde Redhead, is dead at 47. Details about how it happened. People said he had been sick for a bit. So Unwound is one of the best kind of post-hardcore bands. They're out of Washington. Just a great, amazing band. And he was the bass player, and he was an amazing bass player. And I remember my good friend Donald, who I was in bands with, he was obsessed with this guy. It's like his bass playing, his riffs. And we're going to just kind of play Donald's favorite Unwound song, and then we'll be right back and wrap up the show. More radio when we get back. Okay, web. That was Unwound, and they are a great band, and it's a it's sad that because that's a solid bass line. I love that bass line. Real good stuff. So that's let's just kind of wrap up the show now. Neil, yeah. So Brian.
Yeah.
Let's like so at Play Music on the Porch.
And then www.playmusiconTheporch.com.
So that's on the World Wide Web then.
On the World Wide Web, yeah. I thought WW would clarify that. I apologize.
I don't know acronyms sometimes. Because I would when I hear WW, anymore? I'm like, was a?
You know. You think some guy over 50? Is that what you're saying? Some gray-haired guy over.
you're getting real. Yesterday or the other day when I saw you, you were looking real. You're like just Jerry Garcia.
Colonel Sanders thing.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
More Colonel Sanders than Jerry Garcia, I think. Unfortunately,
yeah. Actually, what if Jerry Garcia made a song about Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Wait, I don't have it. Did you email it? I don't have it.
No, Cash. I'm asking you to do that right
Hold
now.
Hold on, let me get the banjo.
Did you know that Colonel Sanders had a pet crow named Jim Crow?
Oh no.
Yeah, that's what kind of piece of shit he was.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm getting my hair cut.
Nice sidestep on that, Brian. All right. Well, let's just wrap it up here. Play music Thanks on the porch day, last Saturday of August. Tell your friends. It's if you're a band that's submitted to this podcast, or if your friends have done it, like tell people about this. Like even like maybe the week after, we'll do like a wrap up thing where we'll grab a bunch of stuff that happened, and we'll have Brian back on, and we'll talk about some of our favorite things that happened on that day.
Oh, great. And everybody's welcome. If you look at it, you'll see a lot of traditional music, a lot of folk music and stuff, but it's open to anything. I mean, there's so much great stuff that you'll find on it. So many different styles of music, so many different, it's just unbelievable once you dig in a little bit. So don't feel like there's a certain type of music, whatever you got, bring it. We're going to be as wide open as possible. Change the world.
Yeah, tell your friends in other countries. Let's get that up to 100 countries. Let's do that. Let's do
really it. Appreciate it, you guys. Thanks a lot.
Of course. We're going to end with a song. Just real quick. I just want to say thanks to Dan Engler, our associate producer. I'm going to thank Cash Hartzell, our producer and co-host. Neil?
Yes. I showed up, didn't I?
Yeah.
Mike still doesn't work and just on target.
Yeah. Fidgety as ever too. A lot of throat clearings and like,
okay. Noted.
Do you can see your, God damn it.
I'm trying to move my dumb mic away from my shirt.
So that's what makes the noise.
Well, I realize that now.
But well, I thought you were using the onboard mic from your computer.
No, I'm using the headphone mic.
Okay. Well, Neil, do you want to? Did you want to promote anything you're working on?
What am I? It's not going to come out for a while. But I did do that Rick Springfield music video.
Did you quit?
Yeah. Well, no, I just turned it in.
Oh, okay.
I was like, here you go. 3 days.
Yeah. Cash, anything you want to?
No, they can figure it out them goddamn selves.
All right. So Play Music on the Porch Day last Saturday of August. Hashtag Play Music on the Porch Day at Play Music on the Porch. That's a World Wide Web. http://// www.playmusiconTheporchDay.com. And we're going to link to that in the show notes. Thanks everyone for listening, paying attention to us. Spread the word about the show. If you want your music played on the show, send it to us. JonahRadio@gmail.com. If you want to ask us any questions or anything like you want us to do, just email us anything. Just send us whatever. Send us station IDs, do whatever you want. We're going to keep on trying to do the show as long as we can. And we're going to end with a new Idols track, a collaboration with The Streets. Now, that's a nice matchup right there. The Streets and
Idols.
Idols, one of my new favorite bands. And this is the track, None of Us Are Getting Out of This Alive. Thanks for listening to radio.
More of an addiction, the way girls fixate and pour over lip gloss. I'm hard to love, I make idiot jokes, but those the hardest to love are those that need it the most. Some people drink to be interesting, some people drink to be interested. The bus comes, fuck delays, lust rushes, love waits, fuck the crushes at rush hour. Luck in love is like government power. Just fucking bus case. None of us are getting out of this life alive. None of us are getting out of this life alive. 4 fathom 5, my father lies. None of us are getting out of this life alive.
None of us are getting out of this life alive. None of us are getting out of this life alive. That's why I don't go gentle into that good night. That's why I'm shining brighter than the brightest light.
I twinkle like my blade in the belly of the right. Cause dollars don't shine for shit, they just talk shite. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, does not build prophecies of I. So I'll be mouth and eyes for the sore foresight. Never act like an Audi driver, never mix with the drink spikers, never seen with the seat pissers, never ever been a game misser, cause missing a game will keep me up all night. Cause none of us are getting out of this life alive. None of us are getting out of this life alive. None of us are getting out of this life alive. None of us are getting out of this life alive. Four fathom five, my father lies. None of us are getting out of this life alive. When I was a young boy, I painted my room black. When I was a young boy, I rated the boom back. Cut to aerial footage of a scary estate. Keep going and prove them right, send for everyone, end the night. Returning to home, still yearning to leave. Turning the sun in worsening seas. Determined to put my searching at ease. Circling seagulls, determined to eat. Into the smoke of the blue, green and chalk. Sinking and glowing and dipping we talk. Until the cliffs become big on our port side. Closer and taller, it makes me feel sure. Calling me back at the start of the year. All I ask is a star to steer.